So what kind of went into the decision to trade him today, and what do what do you hope to see from Eric now that you have him on board?
Yeah, it was tough to include him in a deal, and it's tough to include any of the players that we had sent out because we have relationships with them. We've watched their development. In many cases, we've drafted them or signed them internationally. And speaking about Marcelo, he's a really big part of this, or he was a really big part of this organization, and someone that was looked upon to be part of a core. And I still think that's going to happen. It's going to happen with the San Francisco Giants at this point. But he's an incredibly talented player.
You're listening to Arcan, the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. We're live in our Brighton studios, our Catches Law Injury Attorney studios. No fee unless you win. Nice to have you with us here tonight. We should be joined by Rob Bradford at some point. He said he was coming in, but I haven't seen him. I haven't heard from Academy yet either. I may just get totally ghosted tonight, in which case, it's just me and the people, and that's fine. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will have nightly news at 8:30. We will have dongs. There will be dongs tonight. A trade deadline dong spectacular. Been a while since we've had a dong report. And we'll have Arcan Fire, all the other bells and whistles, etc. But we are keeping it wholly focused here, 100%, on this trade deadline. And did you hear Breslow there just talking about Meyer? He was almost like he's such an important part, big part of this organization. He's like, I mean, was a big part of this organization. He couldn't even. It's like he's had to say that so many times. You know, it's like that that phrase is programmed in there right at the forefront. And just he corrected himself. Just
Marcelo, he's a really big part of this. Well, nope. He was a really big part of this organization, and
he was actually he really wasn't. He really wasn't. You wanted him to be. You wanted him to be. Sam Kennedy wanted him to be. John Henry and Tom Warner wanted him to be. Kid was born to be on camera, as we could all see from those wonderful commercials. Some people just, they get on camera, they're awkward, like me. Some people, like Marcelo Meyer, just make love to the camera when they see it. But it was more than that. It was really more than that. There was a whole ad campaign, a whole media blitz that went into the ascension of Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, and Christian Campbell. And it fell apart pretty quickly, at least from it being all three of them. That fell apart like almost immediately last year. Campbell took the money, hit for about 3 weeks. You remember, he actually hit for 3 weeks in March.
Rookie of the month in
into
April.
April. Yeah, he was good in April. Rookie of the month. Look, it got off to a great start with Anthony and Meyer waiting for their call-ups, but here's Campbell at a position that they needed help at, second base, and here he is mashing to open things up. That's how this all started. At the major league level, that's how this all started. Obviously, they were great in the minors. But once they really decided to lay it all out there and say, here it is. All right, the youth movement begins at the major league level right now, here today, with Christian Campbell at second base, which was so funny because he was the least ballyhooed of those three guys coming out of the minors, for sure. But he took that money. They needed a second baseman for opening day, and he's out there raking. And now here we are, August 3rd, the following season. Christian Campbell. Where is he? I've not heard his name hardly at all, except that he's not hitting well in the minor leagues either. He's had a couple of hot streaks, but not really nearing a call-up at any point, barring some kind of wild emergency. Roman Anthony, we don't have to go back over the unbelievably frustrating season that Roman Anthony's having, but he's not here, and he's not contributing, and he hasn't for quite some time. And Marcelo Meyer is now a San Francisco Giant, traded for not really anything special. Traded for a middle reliever, realistically a middle reliever that they have sights on being a lefty setup arm at the ceiling. Like, that would be his ceiling. Because right now the Red Sox have two righty setup men and a lefty closer. And I think they would like to have a lefty arm out of the bullpen, not named Aroldis Chapman, that they can go to in late innings and also not named Giovanni Moran or the other kid who's probably Watson, who's he's a lefty, right? He's probably going to be the one who ends up getting optioned down. Oh, Watson's a righty. Who's the other lefty? Rule five. So who's the other lefty then? Is there even another one? Why do I think Watson was lefty? I know Moran definitely is. And maybe that's it. So when you think about who's going to have to be optioned out to make space, probably one of those guys. Although I think even though Moran's not been great lately, he's a guy that you'd probably want to keep over Watson. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what they end up doing. And they'll figure all that out. But the point here is that that's the return you end up getting for one of the three real, in my lifetime, most hype prospects that I'm not sure I can think of too many others that hit that level. Dustin Pedroia was a pretty hyped prospect, but not like this. People thought he'd be good, but no one thought he was going to have the career that he had. I remember Andy Marte was a guy. Was that Mike Lowell? Was he part of that trade, Andy Marte and the Mike Lowell trade? There was other names, you know, Stolmy Pimentel and guys like that. I only remember his name because it was so weird. But there's been plenty of them. Plenty of these kind of prospects. Oh, Joe Braverman is trying to get my attention. And he is trying to tell me that Bradfoe wants to call in. What, he's too important to come in here? Too important to come up in the studio?
He said he just left the Nesson Studios because they had
the Nesson Studio is 2 minutes away from here. It is not far, Bradfoe. All right, you can call in if you want to, but we're talking about Watertown to Brighton. We're not talking about, we're not talking about crossing the bridge to Charlestown here. This is easy. You can walk there from here. All right, Bradfoe, you can call in. Fine, you can call in. But first, we'll go to the other callers, including Bob in Rhode Island, who's been waiting a long time. I'm not sure do what exactly. Gloat? I don't know what you're gloating about, Bob. What do you got, Bob?
Hello, is this Christian?
You sure? You bet your ass it is, Bob.
At my ass. So are the Red Sox ever gonna? Are they gonna make the playoffs? You think?
Looks like it. They're the playoff team right now.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you think they improved their team today?
Absolutely, I do. Do you not?
Well, unfortunately, you might be right. But Meyer was a big prospect.
He was. Yeah, he was a big prospect and a crappy actual player in the majors. Go ahead, Bob. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry, but who did they acquire? Some draft choices, or what was it?
No, for Meyer, they got a lefty reliever named Eric Miller from the Giants, who is humongous. He's 6'6", like 270. He's a huge guy. And they also got Adley Rutschman today, Bob. Thanks for the call. Can I just say, Bob, the Red Sox hater, who calls from Rhode Island, sounded more dejected just then than I've ever heard him before. He sounded like a broken man. If Bob the Red Sox hater is that upset, if he's that low, then that means... now Bradfoe's stopping by. Did I just shame him into coming in here? Good. Good. Bradfoe, go down there with your badge and check in. Come on up in the elevator, and let's have a radio show, okay?
That's so mean.
he was in Watertown. He's like, oh, just pop, I'll come right in. I said, sure. And now he's like, oh, well, I'm just getting out of Watertown. Well, yeah, Watertown's right over there. I can see it from here. I can look over to the window. I can see Watertown. It's not far away. Like, really, it's right down the road.
It was nice to see Bob humbled.
And I want to see Bradfoe. Is that so wrong? I want to see my friend. I haven't seen him in a while. It's a road trip going on. I see him at Fenway all the time. I haven't seen him in a while. I get lonely here, Joe. You know? 617-779-7937. Not as lonely as Bob, though. Bob sounded like he was a million miles away.
Because his team, the Yankees, wanted Adley Rutschman.
I know.
Who swooped in and stole him away.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yankees had a good deadline. I think they did. Yeah, I think they did. Garcia, that's a good pickup. And it cost them, but, you know, it costs to do these things. I'm glad the Red Sox got in the game. Let's go to Sean in Hampton, New Hampshire. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, Sean. How are you?
Hey, I want to talk about the Myers trade.
Okay.
I think it was the best thing that the Red Sox did. You know, I have watched at least 155 games of Red Sox for for the last 20-something years. And I watched the eyes on Myers. I watched the eyes on Chris and Cassis. They don't care.
Okay.
Sick brag, bro.
You watch the eyes, and I can tell everything I know about a ball player just by looking in the eyes. That's a good time to take a break. 617-779-7937. When we come back, I assume we'll be joined by Rob Bradford, since he does not have far to go to get here. So don't go anywhere. Christian Arcand Show rolls on with Brad Foe from Baseball Isn't Boring very soon.
Just about Adley's injury, where things stand, when you guys can expect him back, and I guess the plan for him the next few days.
Yeah, I talked to him earlier today, and at this point, like, I am not going to try to put a timetable on what his return might look like. I think it's best for him to kind of get under our care, and get our athletics, our medical staff, our athletic trainers, our doctors, hands on him, and from there we'll figure out what the right kind of course of action is here. But, you know, in talking to him, he's very optimistic, and you know, he is saying that he feels quite a bit better.
Good. Get out there. Christian Arcand Show, WEEI. Craig Breslow. Talking about the Rutschman injury. It's a bad wrist. Sprained wrist, right? A sprain or a tear? Can we get Dr. Sam Kennedy on the horn to find out if it's a sprain or a tear? That'd be great. That'd be great to get a medical opinion on that. A couple of text messages I want to read before I think Bradfo gets here, and then we'll get to your phone calls.
It's a left wrist inflammation.
Inflammation. Okay. Not a sprain. Sounds like a sprain. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Point is, got a bum wrist, and we'll see exactly what the situation is with all that. I would guess that 2 weeks is probably the max. If it's any more than that, if it's any more than 2 weeks, then I'm going to start feeling differently about the trade. I'll say that. If it goes beyond 2 weeks, when you're down to the last, you know, 7 weeks of the season, whatever it is, 7-8 weeks of the season, every week matters. And now if you're going to be, not for nothing either, but Adley Rutschman's only signed through 2027, and there may not be a season in 2027. So we could be talking about the extent of the Adley Rutschman experience here in Boston. And I'm even okay with that. I'd like for them to extend him, but I don't want him to just do it blindly. I would like for him to get extended after, you know, carrying the team down the stretch and leading them into the playoffs or the ALCS or something. What they should have done with Kyle Schwarber, okay? Kyle Schwarber, they bring in, he's out for 2 weeks, they finally get him, and he starts mashing. They go to the ALCS, and they let him go. All right, that's when they should have done it. They should have extended him at the end of that. The Red Sox here with Rutschman, I don't think need to go ahead and rush an extension right now, especially if his wrist injury ends up being more than just a wrist injury. Maybe it's something bigger and worse than that. And why would I say that? Because it's the Red Sox. It's just, whatever, for whatever reason, injured guys here stay injured forever. It's very frustrating. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Texter in the 207. I don't understand this. It says, Arcan, the Red Sox spent zero ownership cash. They spent minor league talent and received cash in a deal, trash deadline, for a team that ranks third in franchise value. What are they supposed to, how do you add money at the trade deadline? It's the trade deadline. You don't trade money for play. You know, that's not what they're doing. And that's not how this whole thing went down anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am pleased to announce that Rob Bradford is here.
Oh, talk about guilting someone.
Well, what, no one you, said, you texted me. You said, do you want me to come in today?
So
I said, yes.
It lasts a little bit longer. So here's my thinking, a little bit behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
Like, you care.
Do you like my new decor, by the way? Do you see who's up there?
Oh yeah, I can name it. It's like the Mount,
can you name everybody?
Mount Rushmore.
It's my personal Mount Rushmore. Yeah,
of late night. Oh really? Pete Shepard.
Mm-hmm. Pete the Meat.
Ted Sarandis.
Yep.
Dale Arnold and mm-hmm. Eddie Adelman.
Thank you very much.
Your own Mount Rushmore.
What I want to do eventually is have it like PTI, just like all faces of people who used to work here. I think that would
you
be.
Do you have to put that up new every time you come in?
I may, if I'm really committed to the bit, then yes, okay. It may end up having to be the case here. Unfortunately, we don't have a video operator tonight, so people are just going to hear your voice.
Oh, it's good.
Which
that's
I guess
good.
Is fine.
No one wants to see me, believe me. I mean,
well,
so
the Nesson viewers certainly did tonight. Let's get into it.
I mean, the makeup's worn off by now. But I would say this is that, you know, so a little bit behind the scenes. I you are totally right. The Nesson studios are like 2 seconds from here.
Mm-hmm.
But, the dinner was going to be a problem. Ah. It's going to be a problem. No place is going to be open anyway. I was driving. I'm going to drive home. Also,
go to the
go to Buff's.
Yeah, Buff's open.
Yeah, Cotillo's in. He's in California. He's you don't go there without Cotillo.
Okay.
Also the red eye. I took red eye flights. Always seemed like a good idea at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Until you take them.
So you're, I mean, you're hanging on by a thread here.
I'm good. I'm seeing your face is it's like throwing the cougar in the car.
Good.
Like my heart rate just spiked. And also the great game of baseball. Yay, trade deadline. So I want to ask you, because I've only, in the short drive from Watertown to here,
mm-hmm.
I only heard a couple calls. I don't think they were representative of Red Sox.
The calls at night are not representative of anything, except like the night show. I mean, that's really, it's a very specific niche audience.
I do like how you pulled, who was it, Andy Marte's name.
Yeah.
That was, it was an excellent, excellent example by you. Andy Marte was actually he was Edgar Renteria.
He
was,
okay.
He was, but he's a great example, Christian. Your instincts are so keen that of an organization building up prospects. Mm. In the eyes of baseball, and then trading him, even though the player isn't good. And RIP Andy Marte. So, but he was traded, number one prospect in baseball, traded for Edgar Renteria, and then dealt in the Coco Chris trade.
Okay, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was Mike Lowell for some reason, but yeah, that's right. You got that. And, you know, there's other examples like that. Hanson, Craig Hanson, you know, who was... This very
Craig Hanson. Well, he was the number one pick.
Yeah, so, yeah. And they rushed him right out there. Everybody talked about how he was going to be the next, you know, next Mariano Rivera, and they rushed him out there, and he wasn't ready, and he had a little career with like the Pirates, I think, or something, and that was that.
Well,
and there's examples of guys who have it's worked out for too, but in the case of Marcelo Meyer, I think you don't just give up on a 23-year-old who is still under control for a while unless there's something else going on, right? I mean, is that fair to say?
I think that they just didn't. Feel they didn't vibe with him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to say it. And what's amazing, this is amazing. I said this 2 years ago. Can you imagine, Christian, 2 years ago that we'd be sitting here and saying the Red Sox has traded for Adley Rutschman and traded Marcelo Meyer for a lefty reliever?
No.
That's not named Josh Hader. and it would be unbelievable. So I think Marcelo Meyer, we go back to. First of all, fourth pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You're drafted fourth. You're going to have the crosshairs on you right away for a long, long time. But every single time we talked about the Red Sox position, the future, the shortstop, Xander Bogaerts, we're like, oh, well, you can't sign Xander Bogaerts because you have Marcelo Meyer. And then Trevor Story's going to have to move to second because of Marcelo Meyer. All of that, all the way up. And then even last offseason, you can't trade for Ketel Marte.
Right.
Because Marcel.
the mime is trapped in a box and he can't get out. Yeah. Can't trade him now.
Might well have been traded for a mime. No, that's no disrespect to the lefty reliever they got. But,
no. But they could have got him without trading Marcelo Meyer, is what I think. Like, they could have found another way to get that
guy if they wanted. So the overall conversation with this deadline is it's all about doing what they said that they proclaimed in November. It's World Series or bust.
Yeah.
And this was a World Series or bust trade deadline. That's why I give them high marks. Good for them. But there's the other part of this conversation with the Meyer thing is this undeniably that you've got this reliever who's going to only help you make your team better. But Marcelo Meyer is A, could you have used him on your own team? And B, could you have used him in a bigger trade?
Yeah.
And maybe they just thought the industry was like, oh, no, you know what? It's only going to get worse from here, so we're going to trade him now.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Brad Foe is here. He's going to stay as long as he can before he gets hangry and decides to storm out here.
No. I'm good. Like I said, I saw your face. I saw the Mount Rushmore of cutouts and
perfect.
Ready to go.
All right, Brad Foe is here. It's the Arcan Show. We're right back. Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We're going to do nightly news, but Brad Foe is here, so I feel like we got to skip it. It was going to be about that stupid country show and how the guy gave away free cruises to everybody. What was his name? Zach Brown. Actually, I like Zach Brown.
Zach Brown.
I was thinking of Zach Bryan. That's the one I don't like.
They asked me the other day who hasn't or refused to take a Baseballs and Boring t-shirt.
Zach Brown refused?
Zach Brown took the t-shirt, uh-huh. But would not pose with the t-shirt.
Oh, oof.
Like, come on. Come on.
Come on, Zach.
Give me my t-shirt back.
Yeah, really.
And people are supposed to accept the cruise line tickets he's offering?
Yeah, come on. Joe Braverman, it's good to see. That's another thing that's getting me fired up, too.
Braverman being here? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that fro is big right now, too. I mean, Joe, that thing is growing. Yeah.
Look at that.
That thing is magnificent.
His videos are red hot.
No question.
Joe, what
has never been hotter.
What grade would you give the Red Sox? I don't mean to ask. So.
I'll give it a B. Solid B.
Okay.
I like
Have you done
grades? I graded an A-.
Ooh!
Yeah. I went A-, and it wasn't even necessarily because I love Eric Miller, or I do like Adley Rutschman, but it's I bumped it up a little bit because, to me, the biggest story here and the thing I'm most encouraged by is that they actually went through with it. There was, I'm sure, a million reasons not to, and that it probably, when they punched it into the computer, said, don't make this trade, the value's in the prospects, Rutschman's not worth it, and they said, nope. We're going with what's best for this team right now. We're going to upgrade right here. We're not going to shy away. We're not going to let the Yankees swoop in and steal them away from us. We're going to keep Arias. We're going to keep Toley. We're going to keep Bennett. We're going to keep all these guys. And that, I think, is worth celebrating. I do. I think that is a departure from the way they generally do business at the deadline, going all the way back beyond Craig Breslow to Chaim Bloom, except the 1 year with Schwarber, and even that, he was damaged goods at the time. So I'm very encouraged by the fact that, yeah, they got squeezed a little bit, but they decided it was worth it instead of just shying away and doing what they always do at the deadline. That, to me, is good. That's positive.
I agree with everything you said. I'm going to add something to it that will enhance the grade, which is, can you imagine, Christian, if the Yankees got Adley Rutschman?
I'd be devastated.
Right.
Especially if it came out the Red Sox were right there and could have had him.
People are, and maybe this is the wrong way to look at it. Garcia,
yeah.
You see some of the highlights, and you're like, oh, my God, he's going to play in Yankee Stadium, and he might have a bigger impact. But the image of Adley Rutschman, for whatever reason, being dropped into the Yankees, a position that they supposedly were prioritizing above any other, and having that impact on both, you know, in terms of clubhouse, on the field, at the plate, whatever it is, that would be, to your point, that would be devastating. And I think that the Red Sox, why that wasn't their chief motivation, it was a byproduct of it, and I think that was a really, really important part of it. And I'm with you, man. Like, I just look at it as the World Series thing. You keep saying in the offseason, the World Series, this was our goal, this is our goal, this is our goal. And they did. This put their money where their mouth were. And the other part about this, I don't know of any of the players that were traded that fit in terms of what you needed in terms of a personality more than Rutschman.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, and I don't know if I'm articulating that right, the right way, but
I know what you mean. I mean, you know how he was regarded in Baltimore.
Right. And so this was the tricky, this was the needle they have to thread, that you had this team that was on an unbelievable heater. You had this thing that was working so well. And so now, yeah, sure, you want to add, but what do you add, and is that going to disrupt things? So what does that look like? Because you don't want to take away things from that element, and whatever you put in has to vibe with everything else, and there's not going to be a single player in that clubhouse when Adley Rutschman walks in and says, no, you aren't part of us. You have to earn your way. No, everybody in there, there's not a player in there who is going to care about Kyson Witherspoon, Anthony Ianson, or any of us, or even Narvaez. Narvaez is a popular guy, but I'm going to be honest with you. He was sort of on the outside looking in, it seemed like, all this year, because he ultimately became a third catcher, and you can't really have the impact that you want both on the field and also as the leader that we thought he was going to be last year, as the third catcher behind Mickey Gasper. So, yeah.
Was this package that they ended up getting Rutschman for offered for other players, do you think? Like shortstops?
Like for like a Scooble or like...
No. For like De La Cruz or, you know, Abrams or Neto or those type of guys.
I can't definitively say, but I think...
Because that's what they were looking for initially, right? That's what all the reports said.
Yeah, well, the Abrams thing, I think you had to probably include Arias, right?
Okay.
And that obviously wasn't done. What's interesting about this is that Breslow dealt with a guy he was very familiar with in Michael Elias, who he played baseball with at Yale. And people say, well, who cares? It matters. It's the same thing where he dealt with Toboni. Like, he felt comfortable. They spoke the same language. They knew each other. So you have that element of it. And then you also had the element of that Breslow was clearly okay understanding that we're going to keep the pitching prospects coming, but we're not necessarily in a position where we can keep the position prospects coming because we don't have any. Like, they've drafted
80% pitchers over the last couple of years. Good for them. They developed him. Now they can trade him. But he understood that.
Yeah, he certainly did. And that's part of the reason why I'm not so worried about, I know it's three of their top five prospects, but two of them being pitchers, the two main ones being sort of, you know, like pitching prospects, I'm not as worried about because I have faith in this organization to be able to keep cranking pitchers out.
We can't be hypocrites. Yeah. We cannot be hypocrites. And the reality is that when you make these deals, we've seen it with Chris Sale.
Yep.
We've seen it with, you know, even Crochet, good for the Chicago White Sox, Braden Montgomery, Chase Mydroth, Kyle Teal, all going to be good major leaguers. No question about it. But the Red Sox are surviving without them. And, you know, you still would want Garrett Crochet despite what's happening this year. It's the same thing here. Like, this not obsessed with what you're giving up. What, and this is the one thing, I don't know if you played Breslow, if you listen to Breslow, but to me.
We did.
Yeah, to me, like, the biggest takeaway was how he had a different approach, whereas they, instead of waiting, they said, these are the guys we're targeting, and we're going to try to get them. Good for you, Craig Breslow. You learn. I think he has learned his lessons, and because of it, we get these deals. Not only this deal, but the Curtis Meade deal.
Yeah, which I liked at the time too. I mean, you know, obviously I don't like it now, but I liked it when he did it, and I thought that was another good risk worth taking. I like that he's taking risks. I like that the organization is taking risks for a team like this because I think this turnaround here, if you had let the deadline come and go with just Meade really being your only move, like Meade and Eli White, you know, and Eric Miller from Marcelo Meyer, that would have really, I don't know if that would have stunted the momentum of the team, but the excitement and the buzz and the fans and all of that, I mean, that would have definitely been a major downer as far as all that's concerned because everybody else got better. The White Sox, the Yankees, the Rays, everybody else added.
Yeah, there's no question that they had to keep they knew that they had to add.
Yeah,
and that's when you have the Curtis Meade thing. But you had to keep the momentum going, and you can't keep thinking. And the one thing that I am a little wary of, I give like a B, maybe a B+, and much like the great Joe Braverman, because they didn't protect themselves in starting pitching, and they didn't protect themselves at shortstop. As much as I love Andrew Monasterio and love posting the picture of him wearing his No S Arbrillo shirt every single minute I can.
He's been awesome.
He has been awesome.
Yeah.
But you have to protect yourself. Like usually you have more certainty at that position heading into the postseason. So
can't you just have him and Chang do it for the rest of the year?
You would think, but again, like these things sort of come to their levels a lot of time. I'm not saying that that's absolutely going to happen, but this is the reason why they were looking at shortstops. And the starting pitching thing also, you know, you have two rookies. You don't know how they're going to get through a season. You have 36-year-old Sonny Gray. You have Ranger Suarez, who has had injuries, stuff. It could work out, but you didn't protect yourself.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, like, it was a failure, but all I'm saying is that those things could crop up again.
Yeah, for sure. And it seemed like it was a lot easier to get a pitcher at this deadline than to get a bat. I mean, just based off of who moved and for what.
Yeah, not like a Joe Ryan pitcher, but
Tarik Skubal didn't go for much. You know?
Well, I mean, everyone says, well, could you have done this deal for Tarik Skubal? Well, first of all, you know, Skubal's half a year, so it's a little bit different. But also, it's different players, it's different evaluations. Like, the Zaire Hope, there was no Zaire Hope. The Red Sox had no Zaire Hope. And let's just, I don't know, like, that seems like a T-shirt. but River Ryan, like, they probably saw him better than Kyson Witherspoon or Anthony Ianson. So, anyways. So.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Brad Foe is here. We'll talk to the people. Brad Foe, if you'd like to, we'll start with our guy from Red Sox Review. This guy's a superstar in Red Sox Review and in all walks of life. Casper in Worcester. Go ahead, Casper.
Hi, Christian. Christian, the Red Sox improved their biggest weakness offensively and defensively at catcher. He's involved in every play defensively, and it was a great thing because that was their weakest position offensively and defensively. And they're not going to upset the apple cart and have it turn into a pumpkin. We don't want that to happen.
Right.
Now, with that said, I want to let you go.
Okay.
But can you chisel in the name of Mikey Adams on that Mount Rushmore? I'll let you go.
All right. We'll get Mikey up there. John Ryder as well, who is the reason I even work here, John Ryder. Did you know that?
No.
John Ryder. So at the time, Cindy, if you're listening, earmuffs, I was seeing someone who worked at the Grand Canal. You remember that bar?
down on Canal Street.
Yes.
And Ryder was a regular there. And she goes, hey, you know, thank you. And she goes, hey, you know, John Ryder comes in sometimes. Come in and I'll introduce you guys. And so we did. And he got me going over at Metro. And I started doing the Sports Flash. And that's how I got my foot in the door. That's how I started working.
John Ryder, yeah. I think he kept saying I'm related to him. So I believe. Yeah. Going back to Governor William Bradford, which was great street credit Thanksgiving until it wasn't. So, by the way, upset the apple cart before it turns into a pumpkin.
Yes, I like that. It was a nice mixed metaphor.
I'm gonna be thinking about that for a while, staring at the ceiling. So
I enjoyed that one, Casper. Yeah. Good one. That was a jewel from Casper there. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your phone calls. Brad Foe is here. Don't go anywhere.
What did Boston give up here to get Adley Rutschman?
I mean, I can't tell you what I said when I heard about this trade. We have to get another 7, maybe 14 seconds of delay. This is a wild overpay on the face of it. Now, you can do all the caveats of, well, these teams know these players better than anybody else. Who knows how this is going to work out? Maybe they know some stuff we don't know. Maybe they're being aggressive. But this seems like Baltimore had a high price on Rutschman. The Red Sox really needed to add a power hitter after losing Meade. They traded, if we're talking rough rankings on a top 100 list, Anthony Ianson, roughly 50th on the list. Azekar, roughly 100th on the list. And then Witherspoon, roughly 150th, just off the list with a chance. He was preseason on the top 100. They got three real guys plus a big league catcher. For a guy in Rutschman, whose value was down last year, has come back this year. This seems like Boston really pushed some chips in to the point where some people in the industry are wondering how they ended up with this being the package.
All right, that's Kylie McDaniel from ESPN, who I swear to God I've never seen before. I've never seen this guy before.
Have you heard him?
No. I've never seen nor heard of this person ever in my life, but whatever. He's on ESPN.
He's a prospect guy.
Yeah, it says ESPN Insider. 52,000 followers. I mean, that's a good amount. And he was on there talking about the Adley Rutschman deal, which one of your colleagues on the beat, Sean McAdams, said he heard from somebody that they called it the most ridiculous trade of the last 30 years. Why? What's with the reaction to this? And is that from the industry people you've talked to, sort of the common sentiment about this?
Yeah, the perception is that they gave up a lot more than anyone thought you would have to give up for Adley Rutschman. And I would warn them, say, yeah, well, that's the cost of doing business at the trade deadline.
Right.
And this prospect hugging is, as you point out, like, this is the problem. Like,
at night we call it prospect humping.
Yeah, after dark.
Yeah.
So Kylie McDaniel, he's a prospect guy. So he's seeing, like, all these guys. So he's rattling off numbers and where these guys are ranked. Well, it's subjective. As much as they want to say it's scientific, it's subjective. Right. It's the same reason why people say, well, how did they trade that for Tarik Skubal? Well, it's because Detroit valued those guys like they valued those guys. And the Orioles valued those guys. They needed pitching. The Red Sox had the pitching. They gave it up. It is what it is. And yeah, for Adley Rutschman, for a year and a half of Adley Rutschman, who's hurt and has been broken down and it isn't the player that he had been, it seems a lot. When I saw the deal, I said, wow, I did not expect, most notably, both Kyson Witherspoon and Anthony Ianson to be in this deal. But at the same time, it's the cost of doing business. Do you want to win a World Series or not? As I said, nobody in that clubhouse is caring about Kyson Witherspoon or Anthony Harrison. Yes, I know nobody. Joe Braverman's on the float or on the duck boat. There's no question about it, right? Correct?
I expect an invitation when they win it all.
And by the way, on the short list,
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Joe Braverman on the short list of people who may catch Joe Kelly's first pitch on Baseball is a Boring Night.
Wow. What a carrot to dangle out there.
September 2nd.
Don't tempt me, Brad. Don't tempt me.
Tell him to throw like 100 miles an hour.
Well, he just did one at Dodger Stadium. It was workshopping for September 2nd.
How hard can he throw still, would you say?
Probably like mid 90s.
Probably touch.
I mean,
95,
his shoulder would like fall off, but yeah. But he did it at the Dodger Stadium the other night. Again, all road lead to September 2nd. Baseball's important.
All right, Braverman's got to wear a catcher's mitt too. Okay, you got to wear a catcher's mitt, not like a regular glove.
Say catch the first pitch, actually, what it is, Joe, is that you're putting the word Austin on the back of your jersey, and he's going to hit you, and you have to fake fight him. All right, so that's what you have to do.
Real fight.
You're telling me I have to go charge Joe Kelly.
Yes, and then he's going to kick the crap out of you.
Pretty good.
Yes,
he is.
Yeah, so it's anyway. My overall point was, it kind of drives me nuts to say, oh, you overpaid. It's the same thing with Curtis Mead, the Conley early deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That was an overpay.
You overpay. Yeah. Fine. But he'll worry about what you're getting, not what you're giving up.
Yeah. Now, what you're getting here with Adley Rutschman is a guy who's certainly, you know, a name that we all know, but also a guy who this year has a bum wrist, has only really had one good month, and is coming off of a season where he barely played 90 games. So, you know, like, there's questions about Rutschman, too, right?
Sure.
I mean, he's not a sure thing.
Well, that's why the people who are brought up, oh, are you going to start negotiating or talking about contract extension? Like, why would you do that? Like, no. First of all, you don't
let
know
him earn it, right?
a season next year. And second of all, no, it is undeniably trending in a different direction than it was a couple of years ago. But that doesn't mean he isn't a valuable, useful player right now as part of the solution more than part of the problem.
Yeah, what I would like to see is just a repeat of what Schwarber did, and then at the end they extend them instead of just letting them go like it was Schwarber.
Yeah, I mean, that to me seemed like a better fit. Again, as a catcher who has gone through a lot of physical issues, Adley Rutschman is an all-star this year. Like, let's not forget that. The wrist thing, it better be good. That's undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is good, then you want this guy on your team in a lot of different ways, including the clubhouse.
Yeah, Kylie McDaniel, big night. He's on ESPN right now during this Giants game. So there you go. Big night for Kylie McDaniel. It's his breakout night.
Most importantly, Christian Arkin knows who he is now.
From now.
Yeah.
Now you're on the map.
You're on the radar.
All right. 617-779-7937. Let's take a call here. Carol is in Wayland. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
I've listened to WEEI a lot, and I know people are questioning Roman Anthony's injury and his, willingness to gut through it and come back.
Yeah, people are doing it.
I just wanted to say, about a year ago, I fell on the stairs and was breaking my fall with my hands, and I severed a tendon in my right pinky finger. And a year later, I still can't straighten out my finger. I've seen an occupational therapist and a hand surgeon, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to deal with it. I'm a violinist, and I can't grip.
I was going to say, what was your OPS last year? that was going to be my big question. You're a violinist, and you can't grip the violin. Carol, I'm going to assume, and don't take this the wrong way, I'm going to assume you're older than 22?
Yes.
Okay, so, and you're not a professional athlete, and I thank you for the call, but I think that's kind of a tough comparison.
I mean, you need your pinky to play the violin.
Also, Roman Anthony didn't fall down the stairs, okay? He swung a bat and fouled off a pitch is what happened. Like, he didn't get hit.
He tore his thing. He tore his ligament.
He didn't get hit with a pitch like Curtis Mead. Like, you know, just
so
fouled off a pitch.
The Roman, all roads lead from violinist to this conversation about the trade deadline. But with Roman Anthony, you can say what you want. Everyone can say, hey, he should be back. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to, if he feels like he cannot swing a bat, and then what is the point of worrying about whether or not he's going to play? If he swings a bat and he feels like he can actually be productive, then good. There you go.
Right.
Like, that's the part of it I don't understand. We can talk about pain tolerance. It doesn't make it any difference. Either you have him or you don't.
Right.
And they still don't know if they're going to have him. And I think that's how they went to this deadline thinking.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that it does lead to a bigger question maybe about Roman Anthony. But as far as this season's concerned, that's not, you know.
Think about this, Christian. It is crazy to think. You go back to spring training in 2025.
Yeah.
The big three.
Mm.
Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer. And where we've landed with this.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really, really wild. Did Marcelo Meyer get traded because he's a bad influence on Roman Anthony?
No.
Not at all?
No.
That had nothing to do with it?
No.
They didn't want him out of here.
Who?
Marcelo Meyer.
I think they weren't convinced him as a player. And whether it's the vibe that he gave off as a player.
Well, then why not send him to the minors and let him figure it out and then call him back up in a year?
Because this is...
Why trade him? That's different.
Right. No, I understand. Yeah. Like, but they don't believe him as a player. Like, so you send him to the minors. Okay, you send him to the minors. You're going to devalue
him. He's played
114
games, Bradford. That's not enough time to decide if you guys can play or not.
I'm with you, but okay. I'm just telling you how they thought. And then you could say, well, you know, like, once again, if you told me that Marcelo Meyer was going to be traded for a lefty reliever, I'm like, even waking up this morning,
right.
I'd be like, that's crazy. But they said, in their world, I'm telling you how they feel. They said, we're going to get this high leverage reliever who strikes out a bunch of guys, who has a million years of control.
Walks a lot of guys, though.
And walks a lot of guys, yeah. But we like him. We're going to fix that. And we're going to do that. And the way that we're going to get that guy is even if this guy was drafted fourth overall, that we don't think that he's part of our solution going forward. And it comes back to this. It's a microcosm of this entire trade deadline where it's not about next year and not about the year after that. It's about they have this opportunity to win now, and this reliever is going to help them do that.
Was Roman on the table for the right deal?
No. Well, I mean, the right deal being Bobby Witt, probably. But not, I don't believe the other, like, C.J. Abrams, to me, came down to Franklin Arias.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't even know if Paul DeBoney was making him that available, to be honest with you. But the Roman Anthony thing, people forget how good Roman Anthony is.
I know, yeah.
Right?
It's easy to forget. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, well, and beginning this year, he was supposed to be the Shohei Ohtani of this team, hitting leadoff, you know, carrying the team. And that was the problem with the construction of the team. There was no safety net for that, and that's why you suffered. So, yeah, if you were going to get a Bobby Witt, you had to include a Roman Anthony, and you should. Absolutely. And now it's going to be really, really interesting. Out of nowhere, are we going to all of a sudden see Roman Anthony pop up and start swinging the bat, all of a sudden be part of the equation? Another guy?
His finger magically heals now.
Well,
Meyer's gone.
Well, I mean, this is the news this week about you actually, it seems like a minuscule thing, but it's a big thing. Actually, you're actually hitting a ball off a tee. Because it took you months to do that.
Just to grip the bat, yeah.
Right, and so now you're doing it, and so you have that. Is that going to happen? Is Trevor Story going to happen? Is Tanner Houck actually going to be like part of this equation?
Talk about guys you haven't seen in a
right,
while.
Right, but you know, as Joe knows, because Joe follows this, like, oh, look, he's on the phone. He's on the phone.
Joe's busy.
But it's Tanner Houck could talking actually be part of this equation. Like, yeah, what are you don't use your street cred. Just because now you may be hit by a pitch on September 2nd, don't be calling around saying, hey, Mom, you never know. Guess what just happened to me?
Bradford, great to see you, buddy.
Oh, man, I'm so glad I came in.
I'm glad you did, too.
Yeah.
This wouldn't have been the same as a phone call, I don't think.
No. And I felt bad immediately when you said it. You should have guilted me into it. Absolutely.
All right.
In any place that is still serving food after 9 o'clock on the way home
I'll
to Beverly.
I'll give you some suggestions. I know some places you can
go. Route 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Route 1. I know a place right around the corner you can go.
Yeah, but
I've been to the Avenue?
I haven't had a carb in 5 years.
Oh, well.
And also, I feel really...
Avenue's out there.
Yeah. The red eye flight makes you feel worse about everything. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, great to see you. You're doing an awesome job.
Great to see you, too. That is Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, WEEI. And you can hear here on Sundays with the fellas from Play Tessie joining us here on the Christian Arcan Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the 9 o'clock hour will begin. Some more of your phone calls, more reaction to the trade deadline. Arcan Fire, dongs at 9:30. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.